We are holding on Nungimel Amud Bey's 10 lines from the bottom. We mentioned in the Mishnah about the question whether you light candles for Yom Kippur or not. We said there are different places where they have different minhagim. In both cases, the object of the minhag is to prevent Tashmish HaMitah, which is also on Yom Kippur. So in some places they would, light candles, in particular in the bedrooms, with the idea being that since you're not allowed to have relations when there was a candle lit, then that would prevent them. And in other places, they would davka not light, because the idea is that then if you have a candle over there, he's going to see his wife in the bedroom. He may have a taiva for her, and he may ignore the, altogether the fact that that you're not allowed to on Yom Kippur, and that you're not allowed to when there's light. So that was as far as at the beginning of Yom Kippur, whether you light or not. So now let's talk about now let's talk about lighting a candle at the end of Yom Kippur for Havdalah. So the Gemara says, Amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Ein Mevorchen Ala Ur Ela B'Metzoy Shabbos. You make a bracha on fire only on Motzei Shabbos. Hoyel Tchilas Bir Yosehu, because that is the beginning of when it was created, as we're going to say later on in the Gemara, that the Eibishter gave Adam Rishon the idea on Motzei Shabbos to strike two stones together and come up with fire. So you davka make it on Motzei Shabbos. You have, by the way, an interesting discussion among the poskim: is the bracha on fire Burma or Eish? Is it fundamentally therefore Birkas HaShevach? It's one of those brachas that we make in order to thank Hashem for making something. Because after all, it's not a Birkas HaNenin, because we have Hana from fire all the time, and therefore there's a certain defined time to say it. Just like with Birkas HaChama, for example, we say it, or Kiddush Levana. Well, Kiddush Levana Kiddush Levana, for example, we only say once a month. Birkas HaChama, we say only once every 28 years. So this would be every Matzah Shabbos. Or to a certain extent, maybe it has a certain element of Birkas HaNen in it as well. Now, when we say Elab HaMotzoi Shabbos, the implication is that we mean as opposed to and not on Matzah Yom Kippur. So Amaleah Husava, so a certain old person, Yeshayim that it's Eliyahu Anavi, says to Rav Yehuda, V'itemer Rav HaBachana, or some say Rav HaBachana told him, Yoshar or Yishar, like Yashikoyach, well done. V'chein Amar Rabbi Yechanan, this is exactly what Rabbi Yechanan said, that you make a bracha on a flame only on Motzei Shabbos. But now we have other opinions on that subject. The Gemara tells it, Ula have a rochiv chamra. Ula one time was riding on a donkey, v'ozol, and he's going, v'have a shokil v'ozol, Rab Abba b'yimine v'rabba b'abachana mismale. Rab Abba was walking along on his right side, and Rabba b'abachana was walking along on his left side. So Ula was the Rebbe, therefore he's riding on a donkey, and the two Talmidim are walking. Omale Rab Abba l'Ula. So Rab Abba says to Ula, Is it true I've heard about you that you say in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, Ein Mevorchen Ala Ur Ela B'Motzoi Shabbos, that you make a bracha on fire only on Motzoi Shabbos, Hoyel L'Tchilas Bir Yosehu, because that's the time when fire was created? So is that true? Rav Abba asked Ula. So Ula turned around, Chazabeba Rabbi Babachana Bishus, and he looked at Rabbi Babachana with an angry expression. Meaning, why is he saying such a thing? Why is he saying it in an angry expression? Because he's saying, in effect, with his look, he's saying, how could you say such a thing in the name of Rabbi Yechanan? Rabbi Yechanan never said such a thing. Rabbi Yechanan actually said that you make a bracha on fire on Motzei Yom Kippur as well. And the reason would be, Motzei Shabbos, you're making a bracha on fire, as we said, because that's when it's created. Yom Kippur, Motzei Yom Kippur, you're making a bracha, even though it's in the middle of the week, because unlike every other Yom Tov, you had no ability to use fire over Yom Kippur, because Yom Kippur is also in all the same malachas as Shabbos. So therefore, like in a certain sense, it's a new thing to you. So Ula is looking at Rav Babachana angrily, as if to say, with his look, he's as if to say, how could you say such a thing in the name of Rabbi Yechanan when Rabbi Yechanan didn't say that? He said not only Matzoi Shabbos, but also Matzoi Yom Kippur. Which means, in other words, by the way, when we said that Ahu Sava said V'chein Amar Rabbi Yechanan, then that would also have to be a mistake, because according to this, Rabbi Yechanan didn't say that. Omale, so Rabbi Baba Chana says, and no lav aho amri. I did quote Rabbi Yechanan, but not in this connection about what you do on Matzoh Yom Kippur, but el aho amri. I quoted Rabbi Yechanan in a different context. Regarding this, the Tani Tana Kamed Rabbi Yechanan, a Tana had taught a braise in front of Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Shimon Elazar Oymer Yom Kippurim Shechalias for Shabbos, that Rabbi Shimon Elazar says when Yom Kippur comes out on Shabbos. Now, in the Mishnah, we're saying that you have different minhagim in different places, whether to light candles on Yom Kippur when it comes out on a weekday. But when Yom Kippur comes out on Shabbos, and you always have a mitzvah to light candles for Shabbos, so then, so even in places where the minhag is not to light, but when Shabbos, when Yom Kippur is on Shabbos, then you do light just for the kavod of Shabbos. So, and then Rabbi Baba Chana is telling what happened in the Bis Medrash. When the Tana told over this Braisa, Rabbi Yochanan continued after the Tana and added Vachachamim Oisrim, that the Chachamim still say it's Osir. The Chachamim say, in other words, not Osir, but in other words, in the sense that, that the Chachamim say it's Osir to light candles on Yom Kippur, even when it comes out on Shabbos, until Matzoi Shabbos. Not really also, but in other words, in the places where the minhag is not to light on Yom Kippur when it's on a weekday, the Chachamim say, not like Rav Shimon Elazar, the same thing is true in those places when Yom Kippur is on Shabbos. So the Rav Yechanan had said on that, that you don't light until Matzoi Shabbos. So that's what I said. And then somebody misunderstood. And apparently Rav Abba also misunderstood and thought that I was quoting Rav Yechanan about whether by Havdalah on Matzoi Yom Kippur, whether you make a bracha on the flame or not. But I didn't mention Rav Yechanan in that connection, just in connection with the question of lighting candles before Yom Kippur. Amalei, so Ola says, fine, adotahei, that will be. In other words, that I agree, Rabbi Yechanan said. So the Gemara tells, Kori Alei Rabbi Yosef, later on, when this story was told over, he applied to this little story over here, a pasuk in Mishlei, Maim Amukim Eitza B'Lev Ish, an idea, a thought in a person's house, is in a person's heart, is like deep water. The ish dvuna yidlena, but a person of understanding will draw that water out. In other words, poshut it means you have sometimes a person has a very deep thought, and it takes nobody can figure. But then you have a wise person, a discerning person, is able to bring that out and find out what the other person is thinking and address it. So Maim Amukim Eitza B'Lev Ish Ze'ula, that refers to Ula over here, who is just giving Rabbi Baba Chana an angry look. Without saying what the problem was, and Rabbi Baba Chana was the ish tvuni yedlena, so Rabbi Baba Chana, that he was smart enough to understand, he was discerning enough to understand what that look meant, why Ula is looking at him angrily, and to be able to explain what he had actually said. So far what we have though is now Rabbi Abba still started the question by asking, is it true that Rabbi Yechanan said you don't make a bracha on fire only on Matzoi Shabbos? In other words, according to Rabbi Abba's understanding of things, you don't say the bracha on Matzi Yom Kippur. Whereas according to Rabbi Baba Chana and according to Ula, you do. Because Rabbi Baba Chana clearly told over the story that Rabbi Yechanan never addressed the question of making the bracha Matzoi Yom Kippur, but Pashtus, you do. He was only talking about the question whether you light candles before Yom Kippur when it comes out on Shabbos, and Ula agreed with that. So v'inhu k'man svarua. So who do they hold like? Where is their source? Where is their source that in fact that Rabbi Yechanan did say that you should make a bracha on fire on Matzoi Yom Kippur? So ki hod amar Rabbi Yamin by Yefes amar Rabbi Yechanan, like what Rabbi Yamin by Yefes said in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, mevorchen ala ur bein mitzoy Shabbos bein mitzoy Yom Kippurim, that you do say a bracha on fire both on Matzah Shabbos and on Matzah Yom Kippur, v'chein amad dvar, and this is how the people have the minhag. Dvar is the Aramaic word for noyig. Like you have, for example, when you have to convince a person to go someplace, the Aramaic word for it, the Aramaic word for it is was dvar, Udvoru Yos Binyamin, for example, they took Binyamin, etc. So therefore, and the word minhag also, the word nohag basically means to lead somebody. That's a minhag is called that because people are led to do such and such. So therefore, the Aramaic word for minhag is dvar. So am a dvar means the people have a minhag. Okay. However, the Gemara says meisvi. I have a contradiction though. A Braisa says ein mevorchen ala ur ela b'matzoi Shabbos. A Braisa says like what we had thought Rabbi Yechanan had said and what Rabbi Abba holds that you make a bracha on fire only on matzoi Shabbos ho'ilot chilas b'riyosu because that's when fire was first created. And the Braisa continues. So in other words, not Motzi Yom Kippur if it's during the week. The kivin shadroya mevorach miyad, and the braisa continues. The rule is you don't wait for Havdalah to say the bracha. As soon as you see a flame, then you make. As soon as you see a flame, then you make the bracha. Rabbi Yehuda oim a sodran alakos. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda says no. What you do is you arrange the brachas with a cup of wine, which is how we do when we make Havdalah. We make the bracha on the wine, then we make the brachas on besamim and the candle and hamavdil. And Rabbi Yechanan says the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, which means, in other words, that, so fine, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim are arguing whether you say the bracha boda ma'oda ha'esh by itself as soon as Shabbos is over and you see a flame, or whether you wait until Havdalah, but they both seem to be agreeing with the basic premise that you do this only Matzah Shabbos. So then, where is Rabbi Yamin Bar Yefes getting in the name of Rabbi Yechanan that it should be the case also on Matzoh Yom Kippur? And where are Ula and Rabbi Baba Chana getting that it should be that way? So the answer is Loi Kasha Kan Ba'ur Shashavas Kan Ba'ur Hayotzim Min Ha'etzim Min Ha'avanim. It depends what kind of flame we're talking about. Are we talking about a flame that shavas? That was it was burning throughout the Shabbos, so throughout the Yom Kippur, and it rested from any malacha. Now Rashi actually holds, and this is how the halacha is, that even if it was lit on Yom Kippur, if it was lit on Yom Kippur itself by a goy or by a person who was over on Yom Kippur, then the point is you're not allowed to use it for Havdalah Matzah Yom Kippur. But also, if it's first made now on Yom Kippur, you strike a match, then you're also not allowed to. What you need is a ner shavas, namely that it was lit before Yom Kippur and has burnt throughout Yom Kippur, which is how we do it. Or Rashi also points out, and this is the halacha, that if it was lit during Yom Kippur, but it was beheter, because let's say, for example, you have a woman gave birth or somebody was sick and you needed to light a candle for them on Yom Kippur, so then that's also considered a ner shashavas, because all it has to be is that there wasn't meleches aveira, that there wasn't a malacha which is an aveira done with it. And in this case, there wasn't, because it's not an aveira to do that. It's the opposite. You have to for pikuach nefesh. You have rishonim who disagree, but that is how the halacha is. So on Matzah Yom Kippur, the difference is on Matzah Yom Kippur, you do make a bracha on a flame, like Rabbi Yamin Bar Yefes had said, but when this braisa says you make only on Matzah Shabbos, it means kan ba'ur ha'yotzim min ha'etzim min ha'avanim, means we're talking about a new flame that was just made by rubbing sticks together or knocking stones together, or nowadays striking a match. That kind you can do on Matzah Shabbos. The difference is, the Alter Rebbe explains in Shulchan Aruch, is again Matzoy Shabbos, we're making the bracha on the fire because we're commemorating. It's a birkas hashevach. It's a bracha of praise to Hashem that He gave that at that time on Matzoy Shabbos, that He gave Adam the intelligence to be able to create fire. So every week we commemorate that with a bracha on fire. So fine, Adam created fire by striking two stones together. So therefore, we can also make a bracha on newly created fire. On the other hand, Matzah Yom Kippur, it's also a Birkas HaShevach, but it's a different kind. Matzah Yom Kippur, we're making a bracha that the Eibishter gives us fire for our use. Because we just went 25 hours in when we're not allowed to use fire at all. We're not allowed to light on Yom Kippur. We're not allowed to light or extend a fire on Yom Kippur, just like on Shabbos, unlike on Yom Tov. So therefore, now we're making a bracha again over the fact that we're able to use fire again. So therefore, it has to be a fire that, in effect, it has to be a fire that was lit before Yom Kippur and has been suspended until then, has been burning continuously since then. And now we're saying now the Eibishter gives us the ability to start again being able to use the fire that we were last able to use 25 hours ago. So therefore, we have to use a Ner Shashavas. So that reconciles it. You do in fact do it on Yom Kippur, but it's a different reason and therefore a different kind of fire. So the Gemara continues, Toni Choda. Now one Braisa says, Ur hayotzim and ha'etzim and avonim avorchim alav. One Braisa says that you're allowed to make a bracha over a fire that was just newly made with sticks or with stones, but Toni Choda ain't mavorchin olav, and another Braisa says that you can't. So again, the same answer, like Kasha, Kan Matzoy Shabbos, Kan Matzoy Yom Kippurim. On Matzoy Shabbos, you can use a newly created fire. On Matzoy Yom Kippur, you have to use a Ner Shabbos. What it says in Shulchan Aruch is the minig is that you use the candles that were lit in shul, or actually what you do is you don't make the bracha over those directly, because those weren't made so much for light as for the covered of shul. What you do is you light another candle from those and then make the bracha on it. So yeah, like we use the yotzet candles that we light out of over Yom Kippur. You add another candle to it and you make a bracha. Yeah. Okay. Now we mentioned about the opinions of the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda. When do you make the bracha on fire Matzoy Shabbos? As soon as you see a fire or all together with Havdalah. So the Gemara says Rebbe Mefazron. Rebbe used to scatter the brachas, meaning as soon as he saw a flame, he would make the bracha Borim Ha'ra'esh. When they brought him Besamim, he would say Borim Minim Besamim. And then at some point later on, as things came, then he would make the individual brachas on them. So when it came to Havdalah itself, he might be making only the bracha Borim Pri Hagafen and Hamavdil, because fire and Besamim he would have made on before. Reb Chiya Mechansan, on the other hand, Reb Chiya gathered them together like we do and said them one after the other. So he wouldn't say, if he saw flame before Havdalah, he wouldn't yet make the bracha. He would wait to make the bracha until Havdalah. And the same thing with Besamim. If they brought him Besamim before, he wouldn't smell them before. He would wait until Havdalah and then smell them. Amr Rabbi Yitzchok Bar Avdimi, Afal Pisha Rabbi Mefazron. So Rabbi Yitzchok Bar Avdimi says, actually, even though Rabbi scattered the brachas and said one here, one there, but later on, even Rebbe would say them again over the cup of wine. He would say them all together by Havdalah, in order to be Motzi's children and the other members of his household. Now, what it says in Shulchan Aruch actually is, as far as Besamim, now again, Besamim is definitely a Birkas Anenin. So if you already smelled Besamim on Matzoy Shabbos, can you then make a bracha for other people in order to be motzi them without smelling it yourself? So what it says in Shulchan Aruch is no. Yes, you can make the bracha on Besamim earlier if you want, but if you're going to then be making Havdalah for other people, then if you want to make the bracha for them, you have to smell the Besamim again yourself. Otherwise, it's a bracha levatala. As far as the flame, there's a machloikas about that, because after all, we're saying the bracha on the flame is not really so much a birkas anenin. It's more of a birkas ashevach. It's more of a bracha of like a commemorative bracha, thanking the Eibishter for the discovery of fire on Matzoy Shabbos. So it brings two opinions. One is that you could make the bracha again for them. One is that you couldn't. So Alter Rebbe says better to be choshish for the second opinion, because it might be a bracha levatala. So therefore, in that case, you would have to have. So if you already made the bracha on the fire, then they would have to make the bracha, or you'd have to skip that bracha because it might be a bracha levatala. So if they make the if you're making Havdalah for other people, and they can make those two brachas, yeah, that's the most straightforward way around it. Okay. So now the question is, that's the end of the discussion in Halacha. So the bottom line is that yes, you do make a bracha on fire, both on Matzah Shabbos and Matzah Yom Kippur, but for different reasons, and therefore you have to use different kinds of fires. Matzah Shabbos, you can use a freshly generated one. You could, of course, use a Ner Shishavas if you choose, and Matzah Yom Kippur, you have to use a Ner Shishavas. And the definition of Ner Shishavas is either it was burning throughout the whole Yom Kippur, or even if it was lit during Yom Kippur, but it was lit for a purpose which is mutter, for example, for a woman giving birth. Okay. So now the question is, V'ur b'Matzoy Shabbos Ivri? You're telling me that fire was first created Matzoy Shabbos? V'hotanya, we learn in a Braisa. Now we have, there's a similar Mishnah in Masechta Avos, but our Braisa is, the Braisa we're going to quote is somewhat different. It gives a different list. Asod advodim nivru be'erev Shabbos ben Hashmoshes. There were 10 things created erev Shabbos ben Hashmoshes. Elohein, and these are as follows. Be'er, the well of Miriam that was with the Yidden throughout the 40 years in the desert. V'hamon, v'keshes, and the rainbow. Ksav, the writing, umichtav, and the writing instrument. So actually, now Rashi explains two explanations. Ksav, Rashi says, means the names of the letters. This one is Aleph, this one is Beis, etc. And Michtav would be the actual shapes of the letters. An Aleph looks like this, a Beis looks like this. Rashi says, that's what I heard from my Rebbeim. Rashi himself says, no, what it means is Ksav means the shapes of the letters. Michtav means the instrument with which the Eibishter wrote the letters, like carved out the letters into the Luchas, for example. There's a lot of other explanations about what Ksav and Michtav are. Rabbi Hananel says over here, Ksav means the shapes of the letters. Michtav means the ability to be able to put letters together and form a word. Or another possibility, Ksav means the script of Lashon Kodesh, and Michtav would be the special way that it was written on the Luchas, the fact that it could be read equally well from either side rather than backwards, the fact that you could read it from all four sides of the Luchas, let's say, the fact that it went all the way through and the middle of the Mem and Samach stayed in place. All that's included in Michtav. Yeah, you have different opinions in the Yerushalmi. We're going to learn in Shkolim in a couple of months, Be'ez Hashem, how many different sides the Dibris were written on the Luchas. Yeah. Yet another explanation that Amram explains, that that Ksav means the Aleph Beis, and Michtav means the writing of the Torah that existed Lamaila before the world was created, as the Gemara is going to say later. Anyway, so those are two of the things, v'haluchos and luchos themselves, v'kivrei shel Moshe, also Moshe Rabbeinu's grave, v'lo yoda ish es kvarase, that we're learning now in Ein Yaakov. So now, and that's something special, because we know that nobody knows it, so therefore it has to be something, it's not completely gashmiistic. Also the cave where Moshe stood, where Moshe and Eliyahu stood, this is on Har Sinai, there's a cave over there, so in Parashas Kisisa, when the Eibishter wants to reveal a semblance of his glory to Moshe, he tells him, "I'm going to place you in a cave in the rock, and then I'll, so to speak, cover you over with my hand, and then you'll be able to see." Later on, Eliyahu Novi stood in the same cave. You have in Malachim, in the Haftorah, Parshas Pinchas, it tells about how when Eliyahu was running away from Izevel, that he walked for 40 days until he reached Har Sinai, and he Har Chorev, actually it calls it there in the Pasuk. And again, he went into a cave there, and he had a gilui shechina over there. So that cave was created Erev Shabbos Ben Hashemashis. Achaz's wife is Izevel, yeah. Psichas pihas, and also the opening of the mouth of the donkey that told Bilam off, or psichas piha oretz the vloya aser rishoyim, and the opening of the earth that swallowed the rishoyim, Korach and his group. Yeah. So all of those were created erev Shabbos ben Hashemashis. Now what's the point? Why is it that these things had to be created at that point? So again, many of the different Mephoshim talk about different ideas about it. One idea is that these are all things that they're like not fully Gashmius, but not fully Ruchnius either. So therefore they're created at like that transition time when it's almost Shabbos, but not quite yet. There's the idea that And the Rambam writes, for example, now there are, of course, many other Nisim, for example, Kriyas Yamsuf, let's say. Each of those was created, the Nisim that have to do with a particular Nivra, those were created at the time that Nivra was created. For example, on the second day, the Eibishter created water, and then at that point, he put in it the Teva, that when there comes the time that it needs to be split, that it will be split. And the same thing, the sun and the moon were created on the fourth day, and there was put in them the Teva, when they need to be stopped by Moshe and Yeshua and so forth, then that will be done. These 10 things don't have to do with any particular Nivra, therefore they were created Erev Shabbos Ben Hashemashis. The Rebbe talks about in a couple of sichas the idea that most things were created in order for man to be able to use them in his Avodas Hashem. The metaphor the Gemara mentions in Sanhedrin is like a person makes a Suda and has everything ready and then invites the guests. So the same way, the Eibishter created everything in advance that man is going to need for his, that human beings are going to need for their Avoda. Then you have these things are not really directly needed for our avoda. So they could be created afterwards. They're created erev Shabbos ben Hashemashis at a time which it's not day and it's not night, and therefore it represents another place in Chassidus that talks about these things come from the 10 spheres of Atzilus, as opposed to most Nivroi, as opposed to the various Nivroim in our world come from Asiya. Yeah. So all of these things are created then. Then the Braisa continues. Reb Nechemyah Omer Mishum Aviv Afa Urva HaPered. Reb Nechemyah says in the name of his father, two other things that were created Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmashas are also fire and the mule. Now, why a mule? Because Ein Kol Chodesh Tachas HaShemesh. In later times, there were mules. People crossbreed horses and donkeys together and get mules. So the ability for that had to be created Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmashas, because otherwise, how would a person have the ability to do that later? Reb Yoshi Omer Mishum, and at this point, the Gemara is assuming what it means is not just the capability for it, but the actual thing was created at that point. The actual fire was created out of Shabbos Ben Hashmashas. The actual mule, the actual first mule was created out of Shabbos Ben Hashmashas, which is why the Gemara is bringing this. It seems to contradict what we said before, that fire was first created Matzah Shabbos. Yeah. Now we're saying it's Friday before Shabbos, right? Rabbi Yoshi Omer Mishum Aviv. Rabbi Yoshi says in the name of his father, Afa Ayil, also the ram that Avram Avinu used as the korban instead of Yitzchak, Vashamir, and the Shamir worm which could cut through stones. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Afa Tzvas. Rabbi Yehuda says also tongs, pliers, tongs, whatever, something to be able to hold molten metal in a fire. So he used to say, why did you need a pair of tongs to be created at that time? When you make one pair of tongs, you need another pair of tongs to make it with, because you have to have something to be able to hold the metal and the fire while you're shaping it. So who made the first tzvas? So therefore it must be Beria Bidei Shemayim. It must be that the first tongs were created Bidei Shemayim. And then Adam was able to take those and make another pair of tongs and so forth. It's not a common word in the Gemara, Lamed Aleph Yud, no, but it means definitely, right. Omrulei, whatever, the other Chachamim told Rabbi Yehuda, not necessarily. After all, you could equally well make a pair of tongs in a mold and then make it right away. In other words, what do? You pour molten metal into a mold, the shape of a pair of tongs, let it harden, let it cool and then solidify over there. And there you go. You got yourself a pair of tongs. So you didn't necessarily need to begin with a pair of tongs to be able to make another one. There is a sicha in Chelik Yudzayin on Ovis Perakei, where we also have in the Mishnah over there, the Yesh Omrim Af Mazikin, Vaf Tzvas B'Tzvas Asuya. So the Rebbe explains over there that the point of the Tzvas is, what we're saying is, the purpose of a Tzvas is to be able to make another Tzvas. It doesn't have, the original one that the Eibishter made, according to Rebbe Yehuda, doesn't have a use of its own. Its only use is as a prerequisite for something else, to be able to make another Tzvas. So according to him, what we're saying is the Eibishter created not only the things that human beings need for their avoda, that man needs for his avoda, but also the prerequisites, even things that are not even necessary for themselves, are only a prerequisite for something else, also those the Eibishter took care to create. Whereas the Chachamim are saying, we can agree with the Etzem idea that the Eibishter created such things. We don't say that it would apply specifically in the case of a Tzvas, because you don't necessarily need a prerequisite for that. Okay. So anyway, the point is that we have this list of things that were created out of Shabbos Ben Hashmashas. One of them is fire. Now, granted, that's only according to Rav Nechemyah, but the Rifan Ein Yaakov explains, first of all, we have all of the other Tanoim following him are all saying af, meaning that they're adding to what he's saying. In other words, we agree with Rav Nechemyah that fire and the mule were created out of Shabbos Ben Hashmashas. We're also adding the Ayil and the Shomer and so on and so forth. So therefore, we have so many Chachamim agreeing with Reb Nechemyah. So how could we say as a blanket statement before that fire was created Matzah Shabbos, especially since we had before Rabbi Yehuda, we quoted before Braisa, where Rabbi Yehuda says that you say the bracha on fire together with all the other brachas of Havdalah. And Rabbi Yehuda is one of the ones in the Braisa over here who's saying, who apparently he's agreeing with Reb Nechemyah, that it was created out of Shabbos Ben Hashmashas. So how does it work out? So the answer is like Kasha. That's the end of the previous part. You're able to make a pair of tongs by pouring metal into a mold. Therefore, definitely, the first pair of tongs was made by man. You didn't need the Eibishter to make the first pair. Anyway, the point is, that's as far as the tongs, but the point is, again, you have all these Tanoim saying that fire was created on Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmashas. So what are you telling me before that it was created Matzah Shabbos? So the answer is like kasha hob udi dan hob ud gehenem. It depends whether we're talking about our fire or the fire of gehenem. Our fire was first, the kind of fire that we use on a day-to-day basis was created Matzah Shabbos. The kind that that's in gehenem was created Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos. So the question is, so Udi Dan B'Matzoi Shabbos, Udi Gehenem B'Erev Shabbos, our fire was created on Matzah Shabbos, the fire of Gehenem was created on Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos. But now comes the question, V'Udi Gehenem B'Erev Shabbos Ivri. Still, you're telling me that that fire of Gehenem was created on Erev Shabbos. It was created earlier in the week. It was created earlier, in fact. V'Atanya, we learn in a Braisa, Shiva Dvarim Nivru Kodim Shenivra Olam. Seven things were created before the world was created. V'Elohein, and they are as follows, Torah, Utshuva, the Gan Eden, the Gehenem, the Kisei HaKavod, Hashem's throne, Beis HaMikdash, Shmoi Shel Mashiach, and the name of Mashiach. The Gemara mentions this point in Nedarim also, and the Rashba over there explains that the point is, each of these seven things is an essential prerequisite for there to be a world of the kind that Eibishter wanted. There needs to be a Torah, because the whole purpose of the in the world, a person needs to know what to do and what not to do, how to serve the Eibishter. Therefore, there needs to be Torah, even before the world was created. Like it's an essential prerequisite. Without Torah, you don't have a world. Tshuva is because inevitably, the world being what it is, people are going to mess up. And if you don't have the ability of tshuva, then the world can't continue to exist. Gan Eden and Gehenim, because there needs to be reward for the tzaddikim and punishment for the rishayim. Otherwise, everything falls apart. Kisei HaKavod, he says, represents the heavens, where the earth is suspended in the middle of the heavens. So like without the Kisei HaKavod, without the heavens, you don't have an earth b'chlal. The Beis HaMikdash, because you need a place in the world where Kedusha can flow down into the world. And Shmoi Shel Mashiach represents like not so much Mashiach himself, but the name of him, like the essence of what Mashiach is all about, that eventually the world is going to be perfected and brought to a higher level than it is and brought closer to Elikos. So all of those things had to exist before the world was created, because without them, the world doesn't have a purpose and the world can't work. So you have the as far as things that were created Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos, there's the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos, and then we have the Braisa that we quoted before. Most of the list was the same, but it had a little bit of a different. Further down at the bottom of the Amud, we're going to bring another Braisa that also mentions the 10 things Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos, and that's going to be yet another list. They have a few different opinions. But here we're talking about things that were created before the world was even created. So before the Eibishter ever said Yehi Ur, which is the first one, which is the Bereshis Bara Elokim, which is the first of the Asara Mamores, already you had these seven things that the Eibishter had created. And one of them is Gehenim. And we're assuming that means also the fire of Gehenim. Yeah, in other words, right. Right, but the possibility of them exists, right? They exist for when they're needed, right? And we know we're going to quote psukim for each one to show that each of these seven things was created before the world. Torah, d'chtiv Hashem kononi reishis davkei. The Torah personified says on itself in Mishle, Hashem created me at the beginning of his way. So at the beginning, meaning before everything else, we actually had in the first perek of our Masechta, we had the word rishon or reishis, sometimes means ahead of everything else, like a barishon, we said meant Erev Pesach. So the same thing, Reishis Darkoi means before anything else. Tshuva, Dichtiv B'Terem Harim Yuladu. The Pasuk says before the mountains were even born, then already V'Atoim Meshuvu B'nei Adam. You tell people do Tshuva. Uchtiv Toshev Enesh Adaka V'Atoim Meshuvu B'nei Adam. The next Pasuk continues, you bring man down to a crushed state. In other words, where his heart is broken and crushed. And you say, return people, do Tshuva. So that existed before the mountains were formed, in other words, before the world was created. Gan Eden, d'chtiv vayita Hashem alakim gan be'eden b'kedem. Hashem planted a garden in Eden from Kedem. Now, Kedem can mean the east, but the Gemara is understanding Kedem to mean earlier. So earlier, before the world was created, there was already a Gan Eden. Gehenem, d'chtiv ki oruch me'es mul tofte. Gehenem was created before the world, as it says, tofte is set up from Esmul, from yesterday, so like yesterday, like so to speak, before there was even a world. And Tofta, Rashi brings from a Gemara that we learned in Erevin, Tofta is a name for Gehenem because Kolam is Spata B'Yitzre, a person who allows himself to get convinced by his Yetzirah to do Averus, winds up over there. So therefore, it's called Tofta. Kisei HaKavod of Beis HaMikdash, those two we know were created before the world. As the pasuk says, Kise Kavod Morei Merishin Mekayim Mikdashenu, the throne of glory, which is exalted, which is high up from Rishon, and again we said Rishon can mean beforehand, Mekayim Mikdashenu, the place of our Beis Mikdash. So we see, in other words, that both of those things, the Kise Kavod, is high up, Rashi says, in Aravos, which is the highest of the seven heavens. And the Beis Mikdash, both of those were created, May Rishon, before the rest of the world. And Shmo Shel Mashiach, the name of Mashiach, Dichtiv Yehi Shmo La'olam, as the pasuk says, his name will be forever. Lifnei Shemesh Yinon Shmo, his name was born before the sun. So in other words, the name of Mashiach, the essence of what Mashiach is all about, existed even before the sun, even before the world was created. So anyway, so we see that Gehenna was created before the world even. So therefore, Bapashtus, that means the fire of Gehenna as well. So what are you telling me before? That the fire of Gehenna was the fire that was created out of Shabbos Ben Hashmoshes? The answer is Amri. So the answer is Chalolo Udinivra Kodim Shinivra Olam. What it is the space of Gehenna was created before Kodim Shinivra Olam. And one idea of the space of Gehenna and also about Gan Eden is both of those exist in our world but don't exist at the same time. We learned in Erevin, for example, that there are openings to Gehenna in various places in the world. But, you know, if you send a group of geologists over there and they start doing, you know, they start doing ground penetrating radar or whatever, they're not going to actually find Gehenna underground over there. So Gehenna, like in a certain sense, exists in the world that doesn't exist at the same time. The ability for that to be, that there can be something on a higher level of Gashmius where it's not perceivable as regular Gashmius, but it's still there. And Gan Eden also has that capability. That's what we mean by Gan Eden and Gehenna being created before the world. So the space of Gehenna was created before the world, but the actual fire of Gehenna, that there's actually going to be punishment taking place over there, that was created only on Erev Shabbos. So the question now is, V'urdi de be'erev Shabbos Ivri? Still, you're telling me the fire of Gehenna was created erev Shabbos? V'hatanya, we learn in a b'raisa, Rabbi Yosi, M'ur shebara HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'sheni b'Shabbos, the fire that the Eibishter created on the second day of creation, which is the fire of Gehenna, ein lo kviya la'olam, that fire will never go out. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, the end of the Haftarah of Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, v'yotzu v'ro b'figurei ha'anashim ha'poshim bi, they will go out and see the dead bodies of the people who sinned against me. Among others, it means, one of the explanations is it means the people who were killed in Milchamas Gog u'Magog. Ki solatam lo samos, because the worms that are feasting on their bodies are not going to die. V'isham lo sichbe, and the fire that's burning their bodies will never go out. So then that's the fire of Gehenna we're talking about. So we see, in other words, that fire will never go out. And where do we see that it was created on the second day? V'omra bana breder of Ula, mipnei malo nema kitoiv v'sheni b'Shabbos. Why doesn't it say kitoiv on the second day of creation? Every other day it says v'yara l'kim kitoiv, but on Monday it doesn't. The reason is because fire of Gehenna was created on that day, and therefore it's not really toiv. V'omra b'lazer, af apichale nema b'kitoiv. Rabbi Lazar says, by the way, you should know, even though it doesn't say kitoiv, on Monday, chazav kolalei b'shishvi, but it includes it in the sixth day. Shenema, because at the end of the sixth day, it says, v'yara l'kim es kolashar osa v'hine toiv ma'oid, that Hashem saw everything that she created, including even the fire of Gehenna, and it was very good. So ultimately, everything that the Eibishter created, even such a negative thing as the fire of Gehenna, is still good because it has a purpose. And one thing, as Marsha explains, that when the Eibishter first created Gehenna before the world existed, or saying that he created the fire of Gehenna on the second day, there nobody had yet done Averis. So in that sense, like, it wasn't Toiv, it didn't have a purpose yet. But then later on, by Friday, Ben Hashmoshes, already the first Avera had been done, so now the fire of Gehenna has a purpose in order to clean up such things, so therefore it can be called Toiv Ma'od. So Yom Shlishi is double kitov. That's something else. Rashi says over there on the Psukim, because what was done on Monday was not completed, because you had the water, the upper and lower waters were separated, but the water was still covering the world. Only on the third day was dry land made. So therefore it says kitov an extra time for that. But here we're focusing on that it didn't say kitov because something negative, the fire of Gehenna, was created, and only on Friday, after everything is done, can it be included in Toiv Moed. Yeah, I had to wait a whole week. Yeah. So anyway, so the point is that so far we have like this. We're saying that we started by saying that the fire of Gehenna was created. We started by saying that fire Bechlal was created Matzah Shabbos. We said, what do you mean? It's one of the things created Erev Shabbos Ben Hashemashes. Then we said that means the fire of Gehenna. But we said Gehenna was created before the world. So we said that was the space of Gehenna, but the fire was created on Erev Shabbos Ben Hashemashes. Now we're saying the fire of Gehenna was created on Monday. So what's left for Erev Shabbos Ben Hashemashes? So Ela, no. What it means is like this. Chalala kodem shenivra olam. The space of Gehenna was created before the world. V'udidei b'sheni b'shabbos. The fire of Gehenna was indeed created on Monday, as we said. V'udidan. Now, within our fire itself, regular fire that we use here on earth, there's two different times. B'machshava olali boris b'erev shabbos. The Eivishter had b'machshava that it should be created on Erev Shabbos. That's what it means that it was created Erev Shabbos ben Hashemashes. The capability, that there should be the capability of making and using fire, was created Erev Shabbos ben Hashemashes. V'loy nivra ad Matzoy Shabbos. It was only actually created Matzoy Shabbos because the Eibishter wanted that this, as well as the mule that we said before, should be created by human ingenuity. The Eibishter wanted that that people should have, that Adam and Chava should have the idea, and people after them should have the ability to invent and create. So specifically, that was as far as these two things, fire and the mule. So even though they were already created by Machshava on Erev Shabbos, meaning that the capability to be able to make such things was created Erev Shabbos Ben Hashemashes. That's what we mean. When we have a list before about things created Erev Shabbos Ben Hashemashes and fire is on that list, means that the Eibishter made the capability that it should be possible to do that. But the actual first fire was created by Adam on Matzah Shabbos. Tanya, as we learn in Abraisa, Rabbi Yosi, Mishnei Dvarim Olam Machshava Liboris by Erev Shabbos. There are two things that arose in Hashem's thought to create them on Erev Shabbos. V'lo Nivru Ad Matzoy Shabbos. They weren't actually created until Matzoy Shabbos because the Eibishter wanted that people should make these things. So Matze Shabbos, the Eibishter gave Adam Rishon a certain intelligence, me'ein dugma shomayla, a semblance of the intelligence of Hashem, a semblance of Hashem's Deya, so that he could understand things that he otherwise wouldn't. Ve'hevi shnei avanim, so he was able to take two rocks, v'tochanan zubazu, and ground them one against the other, v'yotzman ur, and fire came out of them. And Vehavi Shtei Behemoth Vehukiv Zubazu. Also, at that point, he took two animals and crossbred them together, a horse and a donkey, Vyatzmehen Pered, and a mule came out of them. So these two things, the capability to do that was created Erev Shabbos, but the actual first one was created, the Eibishter gave Adam the intelligence on Matzoy Shabbos to realize that such things can be done and to go and do them. So that's why we make a bracha on fire, Matzah Shabbos, commemorating not that the Eibishter created the concept of fire that existed earlier, but that the Eibishter gave Adam the idea, put the idea in his brain to discover fire, to be able to bring out fire, right? On the other hand, Reb Shimon Gamliel says, no, mules were not first created by Adam Rishon, but only much later. Pered bimei Ana hoya. The mule was first created in the times of Ana. So Ana is a person mentioned at the end of Vayishlach, when it talks over there about the descendants of Esav, and then it starts talking over there about the descendants of Seir, which Esav and his family intermarried with them and eventually conquered and defeated them. So it mentions a fellow named Ana. So the Pasuk says, Shenema, hu Ana Hashem Motza Sayyem Mamidbar. This is the Pasuk says, these are the sons of Tzivon, Aya and Ana. And it continues, this is the Ana who found the Yemim in the Midbar. And Yemim means mules. One reason that the Gemara explains elsewhere that mules are called Yemim is Meloshin Ema, Meloshin fear. Because in particular, there's a certain kind of mule, white mules, the Gemara tells us in Cholin and in some other places, are very a bite from them is very dangerous. A person gets bitten by it, it's never going to heal. So therefore, such mules are called Yemim, Meloshin Ema, Meloshin fear. Like you see such animals, you're afraid of them. I guess I don't know if they exist today. Anyway, the point is, we see that it says that he found the Yemim. So it means, in other words, that he found the ability to create Yemim, that he found, in other words, he discovered the ability of creating Yemim by crossbreeding horses and donkeys. Those who explain hard psukim to understand, they used to explain why is it so special that Anor did this? an apostle haya. Anna himself was apostle. He was a mamzer. Lefichach hevi posel olam. Therefore, he brought into the world something which is posel. First of all, because crossbreeding animals is osur. There's even an opinion in the Gemara and Sanhedrin that it's osur to bnei noyach, although I don't think the halacha is like that. I don't remember if that halacha is like that, actually. Besides which, also, Marsha explains, there's even an opinion that because a mule is kilayim, that you're not allowed to ride on it. Plus, also, we just said about these white mules that are very dangerous. So in that sense, also, they're apostle, like they're very dangerous creatures. So for all those reasons, we're saying that Anna, who himself was apostle, he was a mamzer, it's Roy that he brought Psalm into the world. And how do we know that Anna was a mamzer? Shenema, because the pasuk says there, Ela b'nei Seir hachori. It says these are the children of Seir, and among his children it mentions Anna. And then a couple of psukim later, Uchtiv Ela b'nei Tzivon va'aya va'ana. These are the sons of Tzivon, Aya and Anna. So what is it? Is Anna the son of Seir, or is he the son of Tzivon, who is the son of Seir, which would make Anna? So is Anna Seir's grand? Is Anna Seir's son or grandson? So what happened? Ela Shabbat Sivon Alimai. We see from this that Sivon had relations with his mother, Seir's wife, Vaholid Mimena Anna, and then he fathered Anna with her. So therefore Anna is both Sivon's brother, because his father is, because mother is Sivon's mother, and also Sivon's brother, making him a son, or really a stepson of Seir, because he's the son of Seir's wife. Tosfos actually points out, if it was just the fact that it calls him the son of Seir, that itself wouldn't prove anything, because okay, b'nei banim, harem kabanim, grandchildren are sometimes considered like children. The point is, though, the fact that when it says the sons of Tzivon are Aya and Anna, so why is it in the previous pasuk when it mentions the sons of Seir, Achori, it doesn't mention Aya over there, it only mentions Anna, so that shows it's not just a matter of listing grandchildren as children. Otherwise, Aya would be mentioned as well. It must be that Anna was born as a mamzer, that he was born from Seir's wife. Mephoshim, by the way, point out an interesting thing. So why don't we say, you could also have another way in which Anna could be a mamzer without implicating Tzivon. You could have that Seir was mezaneh with Tzivon's wife, his daughter-in-law, and they had a child. So again, same idea. That child would be Seir's son, because Seir fathered him, and he would also be considered, in a certain sense, Tzivon's son, because he's the son of Tzivon's wife. So one explanation is because we find in the Pesukim over there, there's another person, Olivama, one of Esav's wives, who's a daughter of Anna, whatever, where also Tzivon is involved over there. So once we know that Tzivon was involved in one thing of Znus, we have reason to think that he was involved in another one as well. As opposed to Seir, he may not have been the greatest guy, but we don't find anything explicit in the Pesukim that shows that he was involved in Znus and in creating Mamzerim. Therefore, we would assume that here also it was Tzivon who was at fault rather than Seir. Anyway, the point is that Anna was a Mamzer, so therefore he brought Mamzerim, he brought Psulim into the world, namely mules. So again, so this disagrees with this with what we were saying before, that mules were first created by Adam HaRishon. Okay. The question is, Viduma Trey Anna Havu, who says, maybe there are two different Annas. There's an Anna, the son of Seir, and there's a different Anna who's the son of Tzivon. So who says that he's apostle? Omar Rava. So Rava says, Amina Milsa de Shabur Malka Loi Omra. I'm going to say an explanation which even Shabur Malka didn't say. Shabur Malka literally means Shabur, the king of Persia, but the Gemara sometimes uses it as a nickname for Shmuel. Because just like as powerful in the kingdom as Shabbu Malka was, that's in Torah, that's how powerful Shmuel was, that the halacha is usually like him in Dini Mamanis. Or Ikadamri, or another version is Amr Papa, that a Papa is saying, Amina Milsa de Shabbu Malka Loi Amra. I'm going to say something which even Shabbu Malka couldn't say, Umanu Rava. And according to that, Shabbu Malka refers to Rava. Either way, there were two Shabbu Malkas in, there were actually three, but the third one was later in the time of Rav Ashi, but there were two Shabbu Malkas, one in the time of Shmuel and one in the time of Rava. So therefore, the Gemara uses that as a nickname for them. Like Shmuel is called Shabbu Malka because he was a melech in Torah. The halacha is usually like him in Dini Mamanis. Rava also, the halacha is usually like him over Abaya. There's a different gears over here, not Rava, but Rabba, but same idea. The halacha is usually like Rabba over Rabbi Yosef. So therefore, they're nicknamed Shabu Malka. Anyway, so Rava or a Papa is saying, I will explain how we know that there was only one Anna, because Omakra, who Anna, because the Pasuk says he is Anna, meaning who Anna Demeikra, meaning this is the same Anna that we were talking about before, is the same one who invented the concept of mules, who created the first mule. So yes, it's not that there was it's not possible. The Pasuk is implying to us that there weren't two Annas, one the son of Seir and one the son of Tzivain, and then say neither one is a mamzer. No, who Anna? This is the same Anna as before, who was a mamzer and therefore brought Solomon into the world. Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa, another list of the 10 things that were created Erev Shabbos Bein HaShemashos. Asara Dvarim Nivru Be'Erev Shabbos Bein HaShemashos Ve'Elohein. Most of it is the same list as before. Be'er, the well of Miriam, Uman, the Keshes, and the rainbow, Haksav V'Hamichtav, the writing and the script. Again, like we said before, the forms of the letter, the names of the letters and the forms, or the forms of the letters and the instrument used to write them, or the ability to put letters together into words, etc., the various explanations that we said before. V'Haluchos, and the Luchos themselves, Kivrei Shel Moshe, the grave of Moshe, U'Ma'ara Shamad B'Moshe V'Eliyahu, the cave where Moshe and Eliyahu stood. So far, this is all the same as the list before, earlier on the Amud. Psichas Pia Asen, when the opening of the donkey's mouth to tell Bilam off, or Psichas Pia Aretz, the Vloya Aser Hashayim, and the opening of the mouth of the earth to swallow up the Hashayim, Korach and his group. The Yesh Omrim Af Makle Shal Aaron Shkedeo Frachecha. Now, here's a new one. Yesh Omrim, also Aaron's staff with its Shkedim, with the almonds that grew on it, Ufrachecha, and the blossoms that grew on it. So they grew later on, but again, in other words, the idea is that Eibishter created it in potential. The point is, Rashi explains early on the Amud, Ein kol chodesh tachas hashemesh. There can't be anything new after the 6 days of creation. So therefore, everything that exists in the world later had to exist in potential before. So there's this. The yesh omrim af mazikim. Yesh omrim also the mazikim, the shadim. The yesh omrim af bigdo shal odomirishin. Yesh omrim also the clothes of odomirishin. Rashi says two explanations. One is that it means the one that had all the different images of animals on them, which eventually wound up by Nimrod, and that's the one that Ace of killed Nimrod and took it away from him. The other explanation Rashi says is that it means the clothing that the Eibishter made for Adam after the Chetet Adas. So that would be these clothing. Okay. Since we're mentioning things that were created before the world and things that so now the Gemara digresses a second to talk about other things, other unusual creations. Tana Rabbanan. Shiva Dvarim Mechusim Ibn Adam. There are 7 things in the world that are concealed from people. Nobody knows them. Elohein, and they are as follows. Yoma Misa, the day, each person, the day when he's going to pass away. And the idea of it is, we learned in the Sechta Shabbos, that Rabbi Eliezer explained to his Talmidim, since a person never knows, Shuv Yom Echad, Lifnei Misasach, do Shuvah one day before you pass away, and you never know that when that is, so therefore a person will constantly be doing Shuvah. So therefore the Eibush didn't want a person to know when he's going to die. The Yoma Nechama, the day of comfort. So Rashi says it means for each individual person. Every person has trouble in their life. They never know when that time is going to be over. So that's what it means. The day for each person, this and this that I'm worried about, or whatever it is, financial or family or any of a thousand other things, when that trouble is going to be over, nobody knows. Maharsha says it means the nechama of the Jewish people collectively. When is Mashiach going to come, in other words? Yeah. The depth of justice, which means, Rashi says, it means 2 things. First of all, it means Parshat Din, as in a Din Mamonus, that people have between themselves. Nobody knows the full extent of it, because you always have. Din Mamonus can be very, very complicated. You always have, you never know, as we're going to have in a second, you never know what the other person is thinking. And it's very, very hard to actually come down to the actual truth of what happened over here. I mean, you can go based on Edim and based on evidence and this and that and whatever, but to know the and know like the full depth of it, it nobody knows. The second explanation actually says it means Oyme Kadina Osid, the depth of judgment La Osid. In other words, this that the Eibishter judges each person, how the Eibishter judges that this, for example, you could have, let's say, 2 people do the same thing, but one gets a different punishment than the other. That's up to that's because the Eibishter has his cheshbonus, and nobody understands that. Nobody is able to understand that. The next one is the Einanim Yedei Mabalibo Shachaveri. Nobody knows what the other person is thinking, because for one thing, if you knew what the other person is thinking, you'd be able to prevent him from carrying out what he wants. The Einanim Yadea Bama Mestaker, nobody knows what he's going to make a living from, which they've, at the point is, Marashal says, the importance of nobody knowing that is, if everybody knew that a certain kind of business is guaranteed, then everybody would do that. First of all, then, nobody would be able to get a job in that field because it would all be taken up. And everything else that needs to be done in the world would be neglected. So therefore, the Eibishter makes it. Nobody knows what particular way is the best way to earn parnasa. So therefore, people do many different jobs. Nobody knows when the kingdom of David is going to return, which means Marashah says, in other words, when Mashiach is going to come. Marashah says, if we said before that Nechama, that Yoima Nechama means also the Geula, then it would mean Yoima Nechama would mean when Mashiach ben Yosef comes, and Malchus ben David would be when Mashiach ben David comes. And the last one is Malchus Chayeves, Masai Tichla. When is the Malchus Chayeves? When is the wicked Roman government going to be gone? When is that going to be gone? So these are things that nobody knows. Well, now there's no actual Roman, Empire anymore, but we're still in Golos Eden because we still live in a society that a lot of the culture and everything comes from the Romans. You think of, for example, just in the United States, you think of the mottos of the United States are in Latin. The idea of using an eagle as a symbol comes from the Romans. To a certain extent, the structure of government is taken over from the Romans. So you still have Roman influences very, very strong in the world even now. Plus, of course, you still have the Avia Vos Atruma over there in Rome that's still continuing from those times. So in a certain sense, the Roman Empire still continues in a certain sense. Yeah. Still kicking. Yeah. By the way, the Alter Rebbe mentions in Igeres Chof Beis in Tanya that we're putting over here all these things together, just like nobody knows exactly when Mashiach is going to be coming. The same way, when we say Einanim Yadeim Abulibe Shechaveira, it means exactly that. So, in other words, this is why you have to be done everybody lakaf schus, because you never really know what the other person is thinking and what drives him to do such and such. Tana Rabbanan, Gimel Dvarim Olu B'machshava Liboros. There are three things that arose in the Eibishter's thought that they should be created. The Imloy Olu, and even if they hadn't arisen in the Eibishter's thoughts, Dinhu Shiyalu, would have been only right that they should. In other words, because without them, the world wouldn't be able to function. And they are Alames Shiyasriach. Number one, that dead bodies should spoil, because otherwise, what's going to happen if dead bodies didn't spoil? A person dies, his relatives are going to keep the body around as a memento. So, like this, the Eibishter arranges the body spoils, and therefore they're forced to bury him. Also that people forget about the dead, that eventually after 12 months, because otherwise nobody would be able to go on living, they're still too sad. And about grain, that eventually it should rot if you store it for too long, because otherwise what'll happen, otherwise people will hoard tvua and eventually cause a famine, because they're going to want to hoard it to in order that prices will then go higher and higher, to create a shortage, and prices will go higher and higher, and then you're going to there's going to be a hunger in the world, and then they're just going to be able to sell at inflated prices. So therefore, the Eibishter arranges that eventually it spoils, so there's a limit how long they can hold on to grain in their granaries. The Yesh Omim Alamat Beyashatate Shayetse Yesh Omim. There's a fourth thing that the Eibishter put it into the world, that coins should circulate. Now, what's the point of that? One thing is, Marashah explains the fact that people use coins in business, in day-to-day transactions. Maybe on the face of it, B'derech HaTeva, kings would think, why should Haytochen, you're taking a coin with my image on it and you're using it stam to go and buy a piece of gum at the store or whatever, it's a bazillion to me. The fact that they don't think that way, the fact that Adarabah, they want you to use their coinage, that the Yesh Omim are saying over here is a special thing that the Eibishter arranged in the world. A different explanation is also, Poshet, I have something of value. Why should I want to give it to you for a piece of metal, or let alone paper money, which isn't even necessarily worth the face value of it, like we have nowadays, our coins and our bills. A dollar bill is not actually worth, there's no, the paper in it is not worth a dollar. You're accepting it only because, the full faith and credit of the United States government. That concept that people should accept such a thing, Yesh Omrim, is something that the Eibishter had to specially put into the world, because otherwise, B'derech HaTeva, it would never work. Okay. Mishnah says, Makim Shinagu Lasis Malacha B'Tishabav, continuing on the subject of different places, different minhagim, in places where they have the minhag to do malacha on Tishabav, Oisin, and they're allowed to do it over there. Makim Shinagu Shaloi Lasis Malacha in Oisin, in places where the minhag is not to, then they're not allowed to. over chol makim. Now, in all places, whether they have the minhag or not, tamid chachamim betelim. The tamid chachamim are supposed to be off work then. Reb Shimon Gamliel says a person should always act like a Talmid Chacham in that way and not work on Tisha B'Av. Now, we don't say it's mechsi ki yuaro. We don't say that doing that is like making himself proud, like, look how great I am. I'm a Talmid Chacham. He's allowed to do that. We're going to talk about that point in the Gemara tomorrow. Okay, so the Gemara starts off. Amar Shmuel, ein tainis tzibur b'bavel ela Tisha B'Av b'lvad. Now, like this, you have in Masechta Tainis, it talks about Tanias Tzibur that they make when there's no rain or various other problems. So Shmuel says there's no time, and the Tanias Tzibur have different rules over there. Some of them are like Asara B'Tavis or Shiva Asara B'Tamuz or whatever, where you can't eat during the day, but you can eat the night before, and you're allowed to do Malacha, and you're allowed to bathe, etc. Some of them, the later ones, are more like Tisha B'Av. You have to stop eating, you can't eat the night before either. And it's also to bathe, and it's also to do malacha, etc. So Shmuel says, in Bavel, there's no Tainis Tzibur, only Tisha B'Av. So Rashi says the reason is because in Bavel, they don't need rain. So even if they have to make a Tainis for something else, they don't have the full force of a Tainis Tzibur, that it should be that you can't eat the night before, and that you're also in malacha, etc., except for Tisha B'Av. The Ramban disagrees with that. He says, okay, that explains rain. What about other problems? So he says the vote is because in order to make that kind of tiny sibber, you need a basin of smuchim, and they didn't have smicha in Babel. So therefore, only Tisha B'Av. So the question is, lememer de sabar Shmuel tes ba'av ben hashmashas shalai aser? Does that mean that Shmuel is saying that even ben hashmashas, between shkia and seis, going into Tisha B'Av, that you wouldn't be allowed to eat or do malacha, which, in other words, just like a tiny sibber was saying you can't, so therefore Shmuel would be saying that Shmuel would be saying that the same thing would apply on Tisha B'Av. In other words, in places where the minhag is not to do work, that you wouldn't be allowed to. And Shmuel is saying that no, that except for Tisha B'Av, that except for Tisha B'Av, there's no such thing, implying that Tisha B'Av, in other words, you would have to stop doing malacha, and you would have to stop eating already bein hashmashas from shkia, not just from seis. Shmuel himself says that you are allowed to eat and do malacha during Ben Hashmashas going into Tisha B'Av. So you're going to say, okay, very simple. Shmuel holds that any Tainas Sibur you're allowed to eat until Tseis. You're allowed to eat during Ben Hashmashas. So Tisha B'Av is the same thing. Can't be. We learn in a Mishnah in Tainis when it talks about these fasts for rain and whatever. You can only eat and drink while it's still day. Now, what do you mean while it's still day? As opposed to what? Doesn't that mean as opposed to Ben Hashmoshes that you're not allowed to eat in Tainis Tzibur? And if Shmuel is saying that Tisha B'Av is like a Tainis Tzibur in that sense, then that means you can't eat Ben Hashmoshes. But Shmuel says clearly that Tisha B'Av, you are allowed to eat Ben Hashmoshes. So what is it? The answer is lie. Not necessarily. That Mishnah could mean as opposed to after it gets dark. So in other words, the Mishnah is not making a distinction between Ben Hashmashas versus before it. It's making a distinction between the night and the following day. Most fasts, for example, Asara B'Tavis, you only have to start from Alois HaShachar, only from the beginning of the day. These fasts that it describes over there in the Mishnah, you have to start from the night before, but not necessarily that it also extends into Ben Hashmashas. So the same thing, Tisha B'Av could also be the same thing. You only have to start from when nightfall, only from Tzeis HaKachavim, not necessarily from Shkia. Okay, the Gemara says, name a Messiah. So can we say that the following Braisa supports what Shmuel is saying? The Braisa says, Ein ben Tisha B'Av the Yom Kippurim. There's no difference between Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur as far as the matters of Isur V'Heter that have to do with the fast. Ela Shazes Sfekei Osir V'Zes Sfekei Mutter. The difference is that a Suffolk on Yom Kippur is Osir and a Suffolk on Tisha B'Av is Mutter. Now, Tosfos says, in other words, what it means is, obviously there are differences. Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to do malacha at all. And Tisha B'Av, you're allowed to, in places where Makom Shenagu, you're allowed to do malacha. But what we mean is, in other words, that because later on, the Braisa is going to talk about the distinction between Tisha B'Av and Tainis Tzibur, so there we're going to mention the detail about malacha. So what we mean is, in other words, in terms of the Isur V'Heter, I mean, there are other differences as well. You daven Ne'ila on Yom Kippur. You don't daven Ne'ila on Tisha B'Av. But in terms of the Isur V'Heter, when you're allowed to eat and when you're not, then there's no difference between Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur except for Suffolk. Now, what is Suffolk? Mice fake moto la benashmoshes. Benashmoshes is a suffix. So the pashtos, that's what the braisa means. That Yom Kippur benashmoshes is also to eat in the Dumalacha. So therefore, already from Shkia, it's also, as opposed to Tishabov, in other words, we're saying the suffix is mutter. In other words, it sounds like you're allowed to banish moshes. So that would support what we're now that we understand Shmuel to be saying that Tainus Tzibur, that any Tainus Tzibur is like that, then any saying Tishabov is the same thing, then this Braisa supports what Shmuel is saying. However, the Gemara says not necessarily, loy, kid'omen of Shisha Breder of Idi, l'kvir diyarcha. Just like Rav Shisha Breder of Idi says further down on the Amud, that when we talk about Suffolk, we mean as far as the Kviyos of the month, Hachanami, the Kviyos Diyarcha, the same thing means over here as far as the Kviyos of the month. Meaning Rashi says, what if we have a Suffolk, whether the last month was 29 or 30 days, back when they were Makadosh Alpiyariya? With Yom Kippur, you have to be Machmir and keep both days. Because you don't know, it's Daraisa. Tisha B'Av being only Dirabbanon, you don't have to. That's according to Rashi. Tosfos says, what do you mean? The Gemara tells us in Rosh Hashanah that you don't have to do 2 days of Yom Kippur because it would be a sakana to fast for 48 hours straight. So Tosfos says, no, what it means is like this. If you're in a city, then yeah, you only have to keep the 1 day of Yom Kippur. But let's say you're traveling in the desert, or even in Eretz Yisrael, you don't know when Beis Din was Mekadosh L'Chodesh that month. You lost track of, you don't know whether it's a 29 or 30 day month. So then you need to, it's a Suffolk Daraisa, so you'd have to be Machmir and keep 2 days, as opposed to when it comes to Tisha B'Av, you wouldn't. Somebody says, I think it's Fas Emes, that in that case, what you should do is, so if you're saying you only have to fast 1 day, which day should you pick? He says, pick the day that might be the 9th or the 10th, not the day that might be the 8th or the 9th, but rather the day that might be the 9th or the 10th. Because as it is, there's a day in Masechta Tainus that anyway, Lachatchila, we should have been fasting on the 10th, because that's the day when most of the Bismithich was born. We only fast on the 9th because that's when it started. But once you're in a case, we have a suffix and you're only fasting for 1 day anyway, let it be that day. Anyway, so you could say that that's what it means, that Suffolk of Yom Kippur is also, and Suffolk of Tisha B'Av is Mutter, not necessarily are we talking about Bein HaShemoshes, maybe Bein HaShemoshes of Tisha B'Av is in fact also, but what we mean is if you have a Suffolk, what day of the month it is, then you have to be Machmir by Yom Kippur, but you can be Meikol by Tisha B'Av. Okay, and we'll stop over here and we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. Shkach.